Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Actually, I will in a way refer to all three of the lessons, but focusing on the gospel lesson, which was just read to you moments ago. I will not reread it in its entirety. Only to read a verse or two in so that you get again a reminder of what that parable is. Jesus says here another parable. What's left out is the first part of the verse, and it specifically says he was saying this to the Pharisees. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, built a tower, and leased it to tenants who went into another country. Then he said, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in their eyes." This is the text. In the name of Jesus, dear friends of mine, I don't know what you thought of the sermon theme, if you had a chance to read it in the bulletin. I want to begin. I know you have a school here, so I'm going to start off with a science lesson. We talk of light from artificial sources like the chandeliers, the lights, light from the sun, light from whatever source. And then we contrast when we have light. We contrast it with what we have when there is no light, which is darkness. Now, the science lesson is this, and probably all of you really know it, that light is real. Light is a substance. Light comes from the sun. But sometimes we also think that darkness is real and a substance. But it isn't. There is no substance called darkness. Darkness is simply and truly only the absence of light. You take away light and what's left is darkness. Now, sometimes light gets absorbed, and that's a good thing. And the reason I bring this up at this point as an illustration for the parable you just heard read is that there has been a new invention. There is a cloth that has been put together by scientists that absorb almost all light. And it reflects no light back. For those of you who read Harry Potter, it sounds a lot like the cloak of invisibility. And it has many applications. It has applications in the military, because wouldn't it be something if you could make uniforms out of this type of cloth which absorbs light but reflects nothing back, or almost nothing? Because then, at night, these troops would almost be invisible to the enemy. There'd be nothing that they would see, except maybe a vague shadow that would move. It has scientific principles. An astronomer wanting to look at the stars could have a telescope that would have this cloth around it to absorb as much light, what they call ambient light, that sometimes masks see stars in the distant heavens. With this, they could do it. Blackness, darkness, because light is absorbed. That is the darkest thing on the face of the earth right now. I'm not making this up. I am told that I don't know how many of you have ever worn a tuxedo, the black tuxedo, that if you put the jacket of your tuxedo up against this cloth, your tuxedo would look charcoal gray. That's the difference. So what has this got to do with the parable? And is it a parable you like? Is it a parable that if I asked you to list as many parables of Jesus that you could remember, would this be one that you would remember? And if you did, would it be one near the top of your list of favorite parables of Jesus? But you know something? This parable is unusual. It's only one of three, only one of three that appear in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The Gospels we give the title synoptic. And every one of these three Gospels was written by a different person under the power of the Spirit. Everyone was addressed to a different group and at different times. Only three parables make all three Gospels. Wouldn't it be a safe assumption to make that this must be one of the important parables because of the lesson we need to hear and the lesson we need to learn? By the way, if you want, the other two are the mustard seed and the sowing of the seed that falls on hard ground and so forth. Those are the only three. So we need to listen. But I'm going to warn you, this is not a favorite parable. Because there's a lot of stuff going on here that we don't like to hear. But it must be heard. What is to be heard? Jesus takes a portion of Isaiah that refers specifically, and that was the Old Testament lesson, specifically to the children of Israel, and describes them as if they were God's vineyard, as if He had picked them and done everything for them, using the picturesque language of what a vineyard, a truly fruitful vineyard, would need to have. The best kind of grapevines, of course. But then there would be the wine press, so they wouldn't have to take their grapes any distance and lose some of their flavor. They could take it and begin immediately to crush them for the wine, for the grape juice that would later, of course, become wine. And then there was a tower where they could watch out for any enemies or have a place of safety in case of storms. A marvelous thing God has done, says Isaiah, and Israel failed miserably, absolutely miserably. And in Isaiah, he says, the vineyard is gone. It's done. But in the parable, Jesus takes that incident and changes the ending. Instead of the vineyard being destroyed, we have the original tenants being destroyed, being disenfranchised. Now, the gospel tells us that this was said to the Pharisees and to the chief priests. In other words, the religious leaders, the ones who should not have needed to hear this in the first place. So you might be thinking, I've been a Lutheran Christian all my life, perhaps, or most of my life, or even if it's only been a short time in my life. I know. Why are you telling me this? Why am I to hear this as if I were one of those? Well, what were they? Were they bad people? Depend on your definition of bad. I don't think so. They tried hard to do what they think that God wanted them to do. And that's where the problems begin. Because they became like that invented cloth about which I just shared with you. They began, instead of reflecting the love and light that God would give them through His Word, through His prophets, they began to absorb the light. They began to believe that they knew exactly how to do things with God. They believed that they knew how God should be. And so instead of reflecting God's light, they absorbed it and began to say, now does this sound familiar? And I don't mean obviously to pick on anyone at all, since I don't know any of you that well. But do we begin to absorb the same kind of light? That is, do we think that the God that we have come to know is our own personal God? And that someone else who might believe it differently or who might have different ideas in some ways, that they are to be, well, what? They are to be at least ignored, if not in some way made to feel as if they are not true followers of Jesus Christ. When we become so personally involved that we begin to absorb the light and not reflect on it, not reflect it out, then we become like the vineyard tenants who, when God says, I have given you everything, I have given you my Son, I have given you the sacraments, I have given you the scriptures, I have given you everything you need to hear and to see and to meditate on my light, on my truths. Now reflect them in the way you live. We begin to absorb it and keep it to ourselves. And that says our God, I'm coming for a harvest. And there is no harvest. There is no light. You've absorbed it to yourself. Now, there are degrees of absorption. This cloth is one of the highest absorbers of light and non-reflectors of light. What are we? Probably what we are like the tents to some extent. Maybe not deliberately. Yeah, in fact, I'll go out on a limb and say definitely not deliberately. You wouldn't be here. But it's so easy to become so self-indulgent, so self-focused, so ideal that we begin to think that our way is the only way. You know what happens then? If anybody expresses an idea we don't like, we make a judgment. That judgment is, you're wrong. You have to be wrong because you don't agree with me. I got into trouble once. At Christmas time, my wife loves to wear sweatshirts in the winter time, and so for Christmas I got a sweatshirt for her, naturally, and I thought I'd be funny, so the sweatshirt I got had a slogan on the across the front, and it said, "She who must be obeyed." Not a good idea. But that is a good indication of how many of us begin to absorb light. We who must be believed, we who must be followed, my way, my view. We're having an election. I'm not going to talk election. But how much I read letters in our paper. Express an opinion by all means. But many of the letters express no opinions, merely attack people using names. That's what we do when we absorb light and not reflect it. And God understands that that can be a problem. God understands that that can happen. And He understood it then, and He understands it now. Then He sent prophets. Then He sent, as He calls it in the parable, servants to tell them, where's my harvest? Where is the reflected light? Where is the love? Where is the concern? And they instead simply absorb more light and reflect less and less and less. And they reject what they hear because it doesn't agree with what they have come to accept. And we become so self-indulgent. Only me and only my way. And Jesus says, what should be done to those servants, those tenants, I should say, that when I try to give them the right understanding, when I try to have them give up light and share it, they wouldn't do it. And they ridiculed and killed my servants. I even sent them my Son, and they killed him and threw him out of the garden, out of the vineyard, as they turned Jesus over to the Gentile Roman government to be crucified. What we have to remember is now is our chance to begin to reflect light again. Because we do not follow the human way of logic. The human way of logic, particularly in the United States, is that this is a country of great opportunity. This is a Horatio Alger type country. This is a country where anyone who, at least we believe this, anyone who has the gumption and the abilities and the stick-to-itiveness can go from rags to riches. When we remember that for us in our salvation, the story is of Jesus Christ who went from riches to rags. When he went from being God and then gave up everything that included so that he might become one of us. So that he might suffer and in his suffering become what seemed to be the least valued object in the world. And then Jesus breaks out of the parable and quotes a obscure verse from Psalm 118 that says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing." The corner. Do you know something? That verse about Jesus becoming the going from the rejected stone to the cornerstone is the most quoted Old Testament verse in the New Testament. More than any other Old Testament thing. You would have thought something from Moses or back to Abraham or maybe Psalm 23 from David, something like that. But no, this is the one the New Testament keeps reminding us. That the stone which the builders, who should have known better, the one that they rejected has become the cornerstone. The one who went from riches to rags is now in heaven. And we are the new tenants. And who are we? White? Lutheran? Residents of Northwest Ohio? None of those things matter. What we are followers of Jesus Christ. Where are you in your right light reflecting? Maybe you feel, yes, I think I've been a lot of light absorber and not much reflecting. The cloth I talked to you about, the most light-absorbing fabric in the world at this point in time. But guess what? It is 99.5% effective. It can't absorb all the light. Wherever you are, wherever the people that you happen to know and cross paths with, wherever they may be in their light absorption or light reflecting, even if it's at the very end of the spectrum of absorbing more light than they ever reflect, they still belong to Jesus Christ, and they still need to hear. When you receive the sacrament in a few moments, let that be the opportunity for you to take off the cloak of invisibility, the cloak that absorbs light, so that you might be truly light reflective. So that the stone which the other builders rejected becomes in your life the cornerstone. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.